I'm used to that other place over there. It looks a lot bigger now. It is a lot bigger now. It's going to see a lot of new faces every time we come up here. We come up here about once every 6 or 8 months, and we always see a few new faces, and we have to ask names and get reacquainted with people. And it's nice to know that more souls are being saved. I have to share a few things about Leon before I start tonight. About 6 months ago, I decided to start a sort of like a preaching class for these young men in Leon that had a lot of burden to preach the gospel in the streets and even share in the meetings. And I decided to help give them some pointers and help on how to preach in the streets and how to teach things. And sort of the same classes that Brother Lindell gives here, except it was just preaching. It wasn't any doctrine, just teaching how to preach and how to prepare messages and things. And it was sort of a spur-of-the-moment deal, so I told them all about it. And the first week that we had it, we had about 17 men show up. And I thought, next week it'll be about 3 or 4 of them, you know. But we went for about 2 months, and I think 15 of them finished it all the way through both 2 months. 3 or 4 of them were older men. I mean, not older men. They were married men. And the rest of them were young men, ranging from 14 years old to 20 years old. But it was a blessing to see them with such eagerness to learn and to serve the Lord. I also learned a lot from it myself, since it was my first time I had done that. But it was quite an experience. I really enjoyed it. And we got all done. Mike and I had a little graduation party for them. We had a little get-together, and we made up some little diplomas and handed it out to them. We told them on the diploma that they gave good proof that God had chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, because sometimes, as you know, Brother Lindell, they had some real funny messages and funny mistakes in their preaching. But it was a real blessing to be able to help them out and show them a few things that I had learned from other people here in the church. Also, the church in Leon, as you know, we've now pulled out completely. We've left it there alone. And we've been gone about 2 or 3 months now. And we've been gone about 2 or 3 weeks when I invited one of the brothers to come over and visit me. And I said, well, bring a couple of people with you if you want, you know, and spend the day and come to the meeting. And so he said, okay, I'll talk to him about it. And this brother is known to be quite a procrastinator. He just says, I'll come, you know, and he never does it. But that, I think it was a Wednesday night, and that night he went to the church and says, brothers, let's all go to Aguas Calientes and visit the church. So the next Sunday, 75 people from Leon, so they showed up at our park in Aguas Calientes for the meeting. It flabbergasted me, to say the least. We had a good meeting, and then we went out to the park and had dinner on the grounds, or dinner in the park, really. But it was good for us. It was really a blessing to see them wanting to come out and meet with the church there in Aguas. So continue to pray for the church there. It's still young, and it still needs your prayers. And they have needs, and they have problems like any other church does. So pray for them. They'll continue to grow, and that the witness will go out. They've also, as soon as we left, I mean, I hadn't been gone, I guess, a week, and they called the other meeting of all the brothers and said, brothers, we got to get out there and start preaching the gospel, because the preacher's left, so we got to do something. So they got together 4 different nights of the week, I guess, 4 different areas of town, and each night they went to a different area of town and went door knocking. They had like 6 people in each group, and they went out and just started door knocking, and another brother, 2 other brothers went out and started street preaching, and they also kept preaching downtown like we had been preaching. So it was a real blessing to see them wanting to continue on preaching the gospel, which is what our desire was, that they would continue doing what we had showed them, some ways to evangelize. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do want to be those kind of vessels. We want to be prepared for your work. We want to serve you. We want you to use us in your service. We ask you to use us as you see fit. Help us be content in the place you've put us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's really kind of funny. A few months ago, we were downtown preaching, and one of the guys down there, the guy that really gets a hard time, named Alejandro, he started telling us that, or someone down there started telling us that this verse here proves that God permits idols in worship. He wants us to worship idols. And so we asked him how, you know, to prove it. And he said, well, this verse here says, you know, there's vessels of gold and vessels of earth, and sometimes some of this. He used that verse to prove that God does not prohibit idol worship. But we all know very well this verse is talking about people. Vessels are men. They're not an idol. Vessels are men. God wants men. He wants men so he can use them. So I'd like to share a few things tonight about God using men. The reason I had this idea is because I got a phone call from Leon about 2 nights before I came up here from one of the brothers that I'm kind of close to in Leon. He started going down and preaching downtown with us a few months before I left. And since I left, he's kept on going down there with two other brothers. And the night he called me, he had just gotten back from downtown, and he is called to say hi. And he said, I was just thinking about you. He says, I was down there waiting for the other guys to get there. They were a little late. And I remember how you used to always get there on time. We got there late, you know. And so he said, I was remembering you, and I just wanted to talk to you and tell you hi. And he said, we got a lot of good memories, don't we? I said, yeah, we got a lot of memories. And I got to thinking, you know, that the blessing of having something apart in these people's lives. And I wonder tonight, I wonder if you here, I know some of you have, I wonder if you here have gotten a phone call like that from somebody, or a letter, you know, or a word of thanks from somebody that you led to the Lord, or somebody that you helped out spiritually, and they told you, you know, I thank you. I thank you for sharing with me the gospel, or I thank you for helping me through my hard time. If you have, then you know exactly how I felt when he called me, and other times that they have said things like that. The three things I'd like to share. Number one is the part men have in the salvation of lost souls. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It says here that God is pleased God to save sinners by preaching. One thing we know is that God uses men to preach the gospel. That's what this conference is all about. We're here to inspire others, to inspire ourselves, to get the witness out to the world of lost people. We're here to pray for missionaries, to pray for the work of evangelism in all the world. And the reason is because we are convinced by this book that God uses men. That God calls out men to preach his gospel. A brother in Leon had the idea. He was just a new brother. And he'd say things like, we got to preach, you know, because if we don't preach, the rocks are going to preach. And I said, brother, the rocks ain't never going to preach. I mean, you can be quiet and the rocks are never going to preach. You've got to preach. It's the only other way to do it. God didn't have an option over there. He might have another man, but he's still going to use men. He's not going to use an angel. He's not going to use a rock. He's going to use men, and men that preach the truth. And so we need to remember, come back to that spot and remember that God uses men like us, like you and me, to preach the gospel. That's why Paul said over there in 2 Corinthians, I think he says, that God has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And then he says, we pray you, in Christ then, be reconciled to God. Paul is saying, we want you to be reconciled to God. Paul knows that he has the word, the truth, to give these people that they might be saved. And so, We know by the word that God has chosen men to preach the gospel. And I'd like to remind you that tonight. Remind you that no matter who you are, no matter how weak or foolish you think you are, God has chosen men to do that. Paul also says over there, he says, we were poor, we made many rich. You may not think you have much, you may not think you have much gift or much spirituality, or you may not be a spiritual giant, but you can make many rich. Because God uses poor men, God uses foolish men to confound the wise. He uses foolish men to get out there and preach the gospel to these people that need it. So God uses men in the salvation of men's souls. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. The second thing that God uses men for is to help other Christians. Paul says here that what you've seen in me, you do. He also said, be ye followers of me as I have Christ. You know, God uses people like me and you to help other Christians gain victories in their own lives. He used you to help me. I know He has. And He used us in Mexico to help these new Christians gain victories in their own personal walk with the Lord. And again, it's a blessing when somebody comes up and tells you, you know, I'm glad you were here to help me. I'm glad you shared with me some things that I needed to know about my own walk. God has uses us as men to help these new believers, to help other believers have victory in their own Christian walk. I'd like to encourage you about that. Sometimes maybe you forget, or you think that what you do goes unrecognized, or you don't think you're making much of a difference in people's lives, but you'll never know the full extent of your ministry as you minister to other Christians. They may not come up to you and tell you every time, you know, the impact you've had on their lives, but you'll never know the full extent that you've had on their lives as you help them, as you counsel them, as you share even in the meetings. God uses the body, the church, to edify itself. And the third thing in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, 2 Timothy 2:2, starting with verse 1, He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. The third thing God does, He says, He uses men to teach other men. And that's the bottom line, right there. That's what we're all trying to do. We're trying to win souls, at least I am, win souls that can teach others to get saved, and teach them how to have victory in their lives, and teach them how to win more souls, and teach them how to win more souls, and to teach other people. That's the whole idea. We're trying to commit some things to some faithful men. Some faithful men committed unto us, and I thank God for those men who have helped me in my ministry, who have helped me in my own work that I'm doing. And Paul says here to Timothy, he says, you've heard of me, you tell them. You committed to them some faithful men, so that those faithful men can also give it to us. Four generations right there. As four generations of people, different groups that are being taught and teaching the gospel. God uses men to carry on the ministry, to teach others. I'd like to say tonight that if you've gotten something from some other brother, if somebody in the church or the church itself has given something to you, a blessing or a real help, a real encouragement in your own walk, that you shouldn't keep it for yourself. God wants us to commit these things to other men. There's no secrets in this book. There's no secrets. Everybody's got the book. And I remember a story I heard not too long ago about something. Some preacher was preaching on something. He says, I've got something here for you, but he asks his other friend, he says, should we tell him or not? I got a revelation here, but should we tell him? No, let's not tell him. So he didn't tell him, you know. And sometimes we get the idea, you know, that something we have are not for everybody, or it's our own secret. Brother, it's not that way it is. God wants to commit these things to other men. Commit to them the gospel. How to win souls. How to help other Christians. How to pastor them. How all kinds of things we can teach these people so they can teach others also. That's the whole idea. That's the whole reason we're there. We're in Mexico and we preach the gospel to these men. And many other missionaries would be very jealous of their ministry. And it would be very hesitant of other Mexicans trying to do the same thing they are, because they would think, you know, well, this is my territory and you shouldn't be here. But that's not what that's all about. We're there to lose our jobs, to work ourselves out of a job so that others right there can do what we did. And they'll teach others. And they'll teach others. And on and on and on. Brother, God uses men like you and me. And you may, like I said, you may think that you are one of those foolish ones, and you probably are one of those foolish ones or weak ones. But that's what God uses. He uses us weak people, us that don't appear to have a whole lot going for them. Don't may not have a lot of education. But God uses us, men that are willing to go. And if you're not willing to go or willing to do, He'll find somebody else to do it. Somebody willing to do it. But He wants to use men. I'd like to encourage you tonight that you get out and remember that God wants to use you to save men's souls. He wants to use you to help other Christians grow and have victory in their own lives. Just like Paul said, follow me. He wants to use you to teach others what you've been taught. The things that God's taught you, you ought to teach others how to do it themselves. And they'll teach others. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.